Greetings, this is Nigeria, and you're at UrbanBuzzMag.com, and I have Brad Butler II on the line with me, and he's a professional speaker. So Brad, say hello to the people and let them know a little bit about what you're doing.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Brad Butler II. I am a youth and school motivation speaker, and I've been speaking across the country at schools, universities, and even doing corporate work as well. I've been doing this for over 10 years. Love what I do, love impacting the people, and thankful for the opportunity to be here.
Yeah, I'm going to tell a little story. When I was in college, Terry Williams, she's a black female who owned the Terry Williams Agency, came to my school and spoke, and it really changed my life, literally. Just to hear her talk about being a black woman and owning a company and working with all these celebrities. So I say that when professional speakers are speaking, they are actually just reminding you that it's possible. What do you say?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because a lot of times we, as a people, we don't believe that something is attainable unless mm-hmm. we see someone else do it first. Mm-hmm. So I know for me, growing up, like I didn't see a whole lot of, you know, black males who were business owners, who were entrepreneurs, speakers, that type of thing. So I didn't even know that my ability to be an orator, to be able to stand on a stage in front of thousands of people and speak without fear, I didn't know that was a gift.
Right.
But until I found somebody who was doing that, then I said, oh, wow, okay, I can make a living out of that. So there we go.
Now, you have an interesting background story. Why don't you bring us up to speed about learning and what the school teachers were saying and some of those hurdles you had to overcome?
All right, so I'll give you guys the Cliff Notes version of it. So I'm originally from Jersey City. That's where all my family's from. And growing up in that area, you know, poverty stricken. I lived on Martin Luther King Drive. You already know just by the name of the street, it wasn't a good neighborhood. And so, you know, you had drug dealers, you had, you know, gangs and all that stuff. And my mother and father were very popular drug dealers during the time in my younger years. You know, my father ended up getting caught up in the game. He got incarcerated. He did his bid. He got out, came home, decided to turn his life around. My mother and my father both decided that they weren't going to sell drugs anymore. And they got on a straight and narrow, just working a 9-to-5 job, caused some stress because they were used to making a lot more money than what they were making, you know, waiting 2 weeks to get paid. So it caused some stress and some financial strain. And unfortunately, my mother and my father became victims of heroin, so heroin addicts. Mm-hmm. And they dealt with that struggle for a number of years. You know, after a lot of work, they were able to beat their addiction and, you know, get themselves on the straight and narrow and get clean. Thankfully, to this very day, Amen. They are still clean.
Amen.
When my parents decided that, you know, they were clean, they were in a good space, they decided that they wanted to go ahead and separate from each other. So I moved with my father to the suburbs of East Windsor. And when I got there, it was pretty much a culture shock because everything was different. I looked different, talked different. You know, everything about me was different in comparison to the students who lived in that area. So I ended up being placed in special ed classes, and I stayed in there for 10 years. I struggled. I tried to get out, but it didn't work out. And I ended up graduating from high school in special ed classes, no matter how hard I tried to get out. Mm-hmm. And I always believed that it was possible for me to go to college. My mom, when I was in middle school, she, you know, went back to school and got her bachelor's. And then, you know, in high school, she got her master's degree. So by seeing that, I was like, okay, some of that has to be inside of me in some way, shape, or form.
Right.
So that led me to kind of have more belief and hope, you know, in myself. I didn't have a lot of teachers who believed in me. The majority of them did not. I actually had two teachers who believed in me, Lori and Gleesa, Felicia Alexander. I'll never forget them. Two mm-hmm. Caucasian teachers who actually saw something in me and said, hey, this kid is trying to do something positive with his life. Let's help him as much as we can. And that's what they did. And they instilled some hope in me that allowed me to realize that education was something that was for me as well. Like if I was in the school system, going to the classes, that I deserved a good education just like anybody else. And if I was willing to work for it and fight for it, then I could be able to attain it. So I went on that journey, graduated from high school, went to a community college, Mercer County Community College, then transferred to Kane University. And then last year, I ended up getting my master's degree.
Wow. Salute to you. That's all right. Now, passion creates fuel to, you know, fulfill the mission. What was your passion?
honestly, I live for my legacy. Mm-hmm. I live for, you know, how people are going to talk about me long after I'm gone. Not so much what they say about me right now, but, you know, because I still have work to do while right. I'm here. There's some people who talk about me now, say, oh, you've done this, you've done that. You're rubbing shoulders with some of the best speakers in the industry, and they know you on a first-name basis and this, that, and the other. And they're saying, you're next up, and da-da. And I'm just like, that's cool, but if I'm still here to, you know, to hear you tell me these stories, right, uh-huh. that means there's still an opportunity for me to do more work, for me to accomplish more and do more for myself and for my family.
Right.
So, yeah, my thought process is I'm constantly working. I'm passionate about being the best version of me.
All right, sir.
I love the fact that I'm thankful, and I'm one of the things I'm most proud of is the changes that I've made in my life to be the man that I am. Mm-hmm. And I made the necessary changes that made my wife feel comfortable with saying yes to marrying me.
Right.
You know, that those are the type of things I'm proud of.
That is good right there. Okay. All right. How do you transfer inspiration? You know, yes, you made it, but not everyone wins.
Well, everybody has the opportunity to win. But winning doesn't always look the same for everyone.
Right.
So for some people, winning might be that you avoided, you know, becoming a statistic and, you know, being locked up or killed because of the community that you come from. You won. You made it past 18. You made it past 21. And you know you live in a community that's riddled with gun violence.
Mm-hmm.
It's riddled with gangs and crime. And most Black boys don't make it. Black and brown boys probably don't make it past the age of 21. But you did.
Mm-hmm.
So just because you were working a 9-to-5 or you were in a cubicle or you work at a warehouse or you're doing well, if you graduated from high school and you didn't necessarily get your college degree, so what? You're not a statistic. You beat the odds already. Now, is there more work that you can do? Absolutely. But if you were able to beat the odds where you know the average person from your community does not attain what you've been able to attain, then that's something that you should be proud of. And you should be motivated that, like, if I was able to do that, then what else can I possibly do?
Wow. Yes, sir. And that is transferring inspiration, because that answer just definitely should inspire anyone who is listening. I love that answer. Not everybody's win is different, and it's still a win. My God, I had to take that a little bit for myself. Okay. When you're out speaking to many groups and diverse groups, how do you prepare? Have you expanded yourself that you can walk into any room and just bring it?
No, I have the ability to walk into any room. I think that's one of the reasons why if, you know, college is something that you aspire to do, mm-hmm. then you probably should go ahead and do it. Not necessarily just because of the education, but the exposure that mm-hmm. you get to other cultures and other communities and other people. And you learn something that might be foreign to you might be a norm for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can learn the language. How do they speak? How do you articulate this message? That type of thing. So when I walk into a room, if it's an elementary school, cool, I know how to talk to them. If it's a middle school, a high school, college student, if I'm doing a corporate presentation, I know how to communicate with my audience. I'm asking questions. What is the demographic here, right? What are they struggling with? Like, what is the norm in this area? The way I might deliver a presentation for a middle school in an urban community might be different from the way I deliver a presentation for a middle school in a suburban community or a rural community. It just depends. But it doesn't mean that I'm changing who I am or I'm changing my message. It legitimately is I'm communicating in the way that they want to be communicated with, and I'm not thinking about myself throughout the process.
Excellent. The stress level, I can imagine, can be high at times. But have you ever come across a group that you spoke to and then afterwards they came to you and, you know, let you know that you ministered to them in a special way? And is there any one person who spoke to you that it really ministered back to you that you were grateful?
Oh, yeah. So from the very beginning, before I even got into the industry of speaking, I would still have conversations with people and talk to them. And earlier on, people always felt comfortable divulging their deepest, darkest secrets to me because they knew I had no interest in telling other people. Like, if you trusted me enough to tell me what was going on with you, what was a pain point for you, if I could offer you just a listening ear, or if I could actually offer a solution, see your problems, and I would do that. Same thing when I'm on stage, when I'm delivering the solutions to the pain points for these students. Afterwards, when I get off stage, then of course the students want to talk to me. They say, hey man, you were talking to me, this, that, and the other. I'm so glad you were here. And I give them my contact information. So if they want to stay in contact, they can call me, they can talk to me, and we can work through it.
Wow.
And the reason why I do that is because somewhere along the line, even if it wasn't somebody who was in person, mm-hmm. someone was able to do that for me. Whether it was I was listening to a video from, say, my mentor, Dr. Eric Thomas, or Jeremy Anderson, or Inky Johnson, like, they might have said a message on there on one of their videos that just resonated with me, it pierced my heart and soul, my spirit. And then, you know, fast forward, you know, where I was able to get tutelage from them and be in their presence. And now it's not me receiving a message through a video. I'm now sitting right in front of them, and they're delivering a specific message for me that they want me to know to help me with a specific problem that I have. So I wanted to make sure that if somebody was doing that for me, I want to do it for others.
Right. Did you have any fear going before people? And if so, how did you overcome that fear to stand on stage and speak before so many people?
Well, I've never actually had stage fright. That's never bothered me, whether it's, you know, one person or 10,000. Makes no difference to me.
Oh.
If anything, the more people, the more energy I actually probably bring to the stage. You said I feed off the people's energy. So the stage and the speaking part of it is actually easy for me. I love doing that part. The biggest form of fear that I had to overcome was the classroom. And for the longest, I felt like I was incapable of learning properly, incapable of learning like everyone else. So it was the fear of dealing with the professors and being told I didn't think critically enough, or I couldn't write well enough, or I didn't understand the concepts, or I didn't memorize the formulas properly for the math classes. So I had to face those fears. And the way I faced it was by showing up every day to class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. And that's something that we all need to do, is just keep showing up. So I thank you for coming by and introducing yourself to our audience and letting people know that you are out there. And how can people reach you?
Well, if you're looking to reach out to me to have me come to your school or your corporation to speak to your students, your staff, the best way to reach me is my website, which is www.bradbutler2.com. That's bradbutler2.com. And then, of course, on all social media platforms, it's Brad Butler II. Very easy to find. So I tell people all the time, if you can't find me, if you Google my name, you're not trying.
But I just remembered you have a wonderful speaking engagement coming up. We talked about it the other day. If you want to tell them about it.
Oh, next week I have to be in Oregon there because I'm the keynote speaker for their national conference, for an educational conference. So I'm looking forward to that. And then right after that, the very next week, I'll be flying out to Michigan because I have to speak for the Special Olympics.
Well, Brad Butler, thank you so much. We are super excited that you're out there bringing light and power and encouragement to the masses. We really need that right now. There's just so much going on in the world. Everything is on a hinge, from just violence to wars and rumors of wars. And we need people like you out there to remind us that it's going to be okay. And we do win. I'm going to hold on to that. No matter what it is, we win. So thank you so much for sharing with us. And as we say, once a key player, always a key player. So as you continue to prosper, you know, let us know.
Oh, thank you for having me.
You're welcome.